welcome to We the People. Is there a new flashpoint that is emerging between government and NGOs? In the last year, we have seen a number of collisions between the government and individual NGOs, Teesta Setalwad, Indira Jaisingh, Greenpeace. Now, however, there is a contentious legislation, a proposal that has, in a sense, put the NGOs on one side of the trenches and the government on the other. This proposal says that NGOs, including their office bearers, their trustees, their board members, should be also brought within the ambit of the Lokpal and the Lok Ayukt and be declared public servants. In other words, if an NGO receives 10 lakh rupees in foreign funding or 1 crore in government funding, it will be qualified as public servants who must declare all their assets. The proposal has seen pushback from the NGO world. The NGOs are arguing that this is yet another way of political control being exerted over NGOs. Government and several other commentators are saying, why should NGOs not be accountable just like everybody else? How should we see this proposal? That is what we are debating on We the People today. Let me first get political reactions. Nalin, the point is that it has to be seen in a continuum. And we have seen NGO activists at loggerheads with the government in the last year. And you have someone as senior as Indira Jaisingh who actually said to me that I believe my NGO is targeted because I am critical of this government. Teesta Setalwad has made the same argument. You've seen a Greenpeace activist who was stopped from even going to London, Priya Pillai. Then when something like this comes, there is somehow a context that emerges that this government is at loggerheads with NGOs.
Since you said it has to be seen in continuum, then we should let's look back at the history of the FCRA.
Yes.
Foreign Contribution Regulators Act.
Yes.
1969, the debates were in Parliament, and the concern at that time, and this act was passed in 76, the BJP was nowhere there. When the government in its wisdom decides something, whoever will be the government of the day ahead, we'll look at that entire thing. Maybe amendments may happen, but there's always a rationale behind a decision. So it was that you cannot have foreign funding come in any way that may destabilize. And those were the days when the CIA allegation and all was big time. So that's one part of the story.
But second, the BJP is, and the I'm Congress coming. Have foreign funding from Vedanta, for example.
Yes, and on that also which, we've had this
so
debate.
So it's almost as if you all have created a kind of foreign funding capacity for yourself. You don't want to come under RTI.
That's an allegation and I'll reject
it. It's not an allegation, it's a fact.
No, I'm rejecting it.
Because both of you have got funding from
but
Vedanta.
But if you would hear me,
neither of you have agreed to come under the RTI.
Well, you're almost sounding as if you don't want to hear me.
I want to hear
you. Yeah, not at all. It didn't sound that way. So let me come on the last one that you said. There have been situations where companies, their shareholding pattern changes because of FIIs. This explanation I remember during the election. I've debated it on your channel also. Second is on the question of RTI and the political parties. No less than Mr. Jaitley, we also stood on it on debates and said, the financial aspect is one part. The decision-making process, how do you decide whether Nalin Kohli should get a ticket or not get? You can't have minutes about it. There could be various factors.
Okay.
So that's another part of it. Can it come under the purview?
Okay.
That's one.
Okay.
The third is on coming back on the NGO and the so-called, you have named them as very senior activists. They may be in their respective fields, but I don't understand under the law and under the constitution, how could you, me, anyone else, Ms. Jaisingh, Ms. Setalwad, anybody, say that I will not be investigated because I raise allegations.
What is the thinking
if
behind
we don't
this particular
maintain
proposal?
Accounts, 1 minute, I'm just saying, if we don't maintain accounts, because it's a public fund, if you are taking a benefit of even taxation in terms of not paying tax on an amount, the public is now involved.
Okay.
Now, with regard to the third part of it, the NGO, civil society, the media, the government of the day, no matter which government, are meant to have a certain level of stress between them because that's the nature of it. How do you keep a check on a government if you have a beautiful relationship? Everyone's happy. We don't need a TV channel. We need no debates. So I think in that particular thing, there's no harm. But if you're doing everything correct, you have nothing to fear.
So Ajoy, do you support, does the Congress support the BJP on this? And I ask you this because the Congress's own record on freedom for NGOs is also quite suspect. And I say this because the original IB report that actually damned NGOs, that in particular damned Greenpeace, that saw Greenpeace as actually trying to change India's energy grid and take down our coal plants, our own indigenous nuclear energy, was written during the UPA. All right. So it's a little unclear to me where the Congress stands.
Okay. The first issue, I think, is that the government has beautifully put the NGOs to prevent the politicians and the bureaucrats from filing their returns. And I tell you, it's very... So the whole debate has gone on NGO. And why you need to understand this is very interesting. So I think it's BJP's masterstroke and Lokpal is dead. Because now the whole country is debating on NGOs. In that process, the bureaucrats don't have to file their returns. The politicians don't file up to returns because all of them came under this. And what did they do in June 16? They came with a notification which said that all trustees who are not related to even the NGOs under that definition, so Anu Aga, Mr. Tata, all and people of great reputation, Mr. Yeah. Subramaniam and all, yeah. by the way, they would come under this. And then all right-minded people in this country said, oh, wow, this is not fair. So everybody went to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister, in his wisdom, used this fantastic power, which is without calling the cabinet, he can do that.
Yeah,
the emergency. And he brought this emergency clause, and what happened? Nobody talks about the bureaucrats filing their returns now. Nobody talks about Parliament. We are all saying NGOs'
Which
freedom
returns?
Under threat.
Which
Actually,
returns?
Lokpal, one sec, Lokpal is dead.
Clause
that
15.
Is the fundamental issue. And the whole country will go on a tangent.
Hang on, you're saying the NGO issue is a diversionary
Absolutely.
Issue? That the heat has been put on the NGOs to take the heat off politicians and bureaucrats.
And it's so elegantly executed that you need to understand this, the deviousness of this. And I keep telling you, it's brilliant.
But as politicians, you're part of that.
So
you're complicit
so
in that. You're complicit in the evil.
No,
why don't you get up and
so
say we oppose this legislation?
So
you're not taking a categorical position.
Coming to that. And coming to that point, listen.
So let me take this right away to TSR Subramaniam. We'll have Anu Aga's comments also coming up in the program. But TSR Subramaniam, the argument seems to be here that the BJP is actually deftly moved to put the heat on NGOs because it's kind of trendy right now, especially when you locate them in foreign funding. You play to a kind of paranoia. And you're actually taking the heat off where it really matters, which is the politicians, the bureaucrats.
Well, I'm not going to the issue of BJP versus Congress on this.
Yeah.
I'll try to go back to the fundamentals, to the kind of basics. I think all public servants, politicians, bureaucrats must declare.
All.
Politicians,
bureaucrats, and NGOs.
And NGOs.
Okay.
I oppose.
Not NGOs. Are you muttering under your breath? Not NGOs.
I definitely believe that the NGOs should be. One sec, sir. I'll just. I don't want
one
to.
One sentence and then let him. Yeah.
I just fundamentally feel that the spirit of the Lokpal was politicians and bureaucrats. And to see their family members accounted increase in wealth.
Okay.
I think the civil society, we got enough challenge in India, so let's keep
so
civil society.
So let TSR now come in. Yeah.
We are now mixing up too many issues.
Okay.
I also agree that the Lokpal should not be a corruption czar to cover all issues.
Correct.
It should focus purely on the political class because the lack of checks and balances in our constitution has wreaked havoc in 17
but
years.
But you are also
in
saying that NGOs should declare assets.
But I am quite clear that this is the age of transparency.
Yeah.
All people in public space,
should
whatever they
assets.
Do.
Media also. I think there's nothing wrong with media also declares assets. I would be very happy for journalists
media
to declare assets.
And also political parties.
Yes.
All of them must declare, whoever is in public space must declare. Either you have a choice to be with an NGO, in which case I have seen the education space, so many NGOs transferring money to the MPs and politicians in hundreds of crores.
Yeah.
I think they must all declare their assets year by year.
So let me get Viraj.
We are doing that already.
Let me just get Viraj in and Poonam, I'll come to you. Because look at the amount of money we're talking about. We're actually not talking small change, all right? Kiran Rijiju, in a written reply, tells Parliament that NGOs have got over 50,000 crores from outside India in the last 3 years. This is an official figure. Now, how do we look at this kind of money, Viraj, and it will be asked, and not keep it accountable? Yes. And what is the concern among NGOs that trustees and board members should declare assets? Don't we all file returns anyway? What is the concern?
So let me just set the record straight.
Yeah.
Foreign currency coming into this country
for
NGOs is governed by the Foreign Contribution Regulation Act,
which,
according to the UN Special Rapporteur, is one of the most draconian acts globally. You know, this is an act where you file FC3 returns, which gives unlimited powers to the government to prosecute, which you do not have, say, if you get it under FDI.
Yeah.
Suppose I get in money through the FEMA mechanism.
Yeah.
If I'm a company, government will go out on a limb to welcome that money.
Yeah.
But you saw that when the NDA came to power, one of their actions was to cancel the registration of 10,000 NGOs.
Yeah.
Because they had not filed their return or on some pretext or the other.
Yeah.
No,
in
Barca,
fact, now over 14,000 NGOs
Absolutely.
At last count
NGOs
have been barred from receiving foreign funds.
Please tell me, every day,
sorry,
if they don't file returns, they should be prosecuted.
No, exactly.
If they don't file returns, they should be prosecuted.
Mr. Subramaniam, please tell me how many companies licenses you have cancelled when their directors are in jail.
Should be prosecuted.
But you've not done that. You've not done that. How many did you give these NGOs a chance to respond back? You did.
So you are. So hang on. You're actually saying that crony capitalism means that companies who own money, who don't file returns,
absolutely,
who evade tax, they get to be Vijay Mallya, and the NGOs get damned. I'll just allow
you. I want to clear a misconception here. Who is it who went to the Prime Minister? It wasn't a delegation of civil society. It was members of Parliament. Okay, and what is the change in the law? They have exempted the spouses and children, dependent children, of all public servants, of all, which means primarily politicians and bureaucrats.
So I'll allow TSR to respond and then I'll open it up. TSR.
Barkha, I am going one step backward. This is not a question of A or B or C.
No, there's a question of selectiveness that the NGO world is making.
We should not be there.
Yeah.
I also know there are top-class NGOs. I also know there are huge crooks. And therefore, we have to have one common law for all.
Viraj's point about selectiveness, when you contrast Mallya partying it up in London, and then you look at the fact that, you know, you have a consortium of banks that will still give him money, that is still negotiating, that is still trying to get that money back. You have the Lalit Modi who flew the coup. You have the Mallya who flew the coup.
How are they related?
It's related because, as he says, there's a sort of selective focus on NGOs that takes the heat off the real guys, the real big crooks.
That's false.
I'm not saying there are no crooks in the NGO world. All professions have crooks.
I'm putting this
on
the record.
But are you taking the heat off the big crooks?
Not at all. This is false. It is also malafide. For the only reason, if the government was not going after them, and there are various penal provisions that are already engaged. So therefore, if the government goes behind them, you're saying you're giving them a way out. There's no way out. Second.
How many companies have you shut down?
Sir, I have not
Tell
interrupted.
Me how many companies
I have not
has
interrupted.
Shut down?
I follow a simple thing. I don't interrupt anyone. And I like to make my point. And second is, anyone who breaks the law has everything.
But he's right in saying.
No, I'm not
saying
it.
You have
2 million NGOs.
You have
NGOs,
frozen
sorry,
the accounts
the
of 14,000 NGOs. How many companies' accounts
million.
Have you frozen?
There are 2 million NGOs in this country, more than primary schools in this country. 2% file returns.
That's a good point also.
2% file returns.
I want to take that to Poonam. 2% of 20 lakh NGOs.
That's 40,000.
Now, it's a very important point you've raised and I agree with you. If returns are not being filed, there's a problem.
There is a problem and Nalin, I don't know where you're getting your figures from, but I interact and look at I've been a donor, I'm now working with an NGO and I work with a large number of NGOs. Most NGOs I work with and I know of file their returns. So I don't know where you're getting your figure from.
MHA figure.
So I want to make the point, okay?
Yeah.
The point is that there are enough laws and regulations that honest NGOs and transparent NGOs are filing. Why are you penalizing us? We are filing income tax returns.
Yeah.
Our accounts for under FCRA are on the website of the Ministry of Home. Our accounts on our website, quarterly accounts we put out, we report
to the
income
tax
department.
You have to tell a larger
I can tell you what the concern is. Board members, public servants, this is the new one I've heard. Did anyone know that? We have never been called public servants.
So let me take this to Madhav.
What is our accountability? What is our...
Professor Nalapat, why are they
public?
All of us are not taking public money. By 1 crore rupees, we become public servants. The money is coming to our organizations. The money is not coming to an individual. But you are asking individuals to file their returns.
Now I'll answer. Three sentences. Yeah. 1 minute, Ajoy.
Yeah.
A politician who handles a ministry does not get the ministry's money in his account. He gets a salary. But he's a public servant.
I'm not getting a salary.
Board members are not getting salaries.
If I'm a political person who's a spokesperson of a party, and if I'm tomorrow coming into it, I don't even take a salary from the party. I spend my own private
But you
money.
Don't have to disclose your income under the act.
Exactly.
But we are moving.
You don't have to disclose your income.
The point is that, Nalin, politicians don't have to disclose your income.
Wrong example.
I'm not finished my point.
Okay.
My point is, if you take funds from any public source, the government, it is public money. Because the money that goes to the government doesn't go from anyone's personal pocket. It goes to the taxation.
Then what about foreign money?
The second
okay,
is...
what about
if
foreign
taking,
money? Please
that's not public money then, if it's coming from abroad.
Yes, so therefore,
no,
I'm asking another question altogether. Yeah. So why should any NGO take foreign funding and therefore fund political unrest in any way?
No, but why is your evidence? That is an allegation. That is an allegation.
That is because your NGO doesn't do it.
No, no, no. Listen. No, no. That is a complete allegation. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something, Nalin.
Nalin, let him respond to that. Now, let me add a question. Let me add a question. It has been alleged repeatedly by the government that there are particular NGOs. Tisa Sethalbath has been named in particular, who basically had a very strong anti-Modi politics and received funding for that. Now, Ford Foundation funding, for example, was seen to be contentious because in no country, in the most liberal societies, absolutely, you are not allowed to take foreign funding for anything that qualifies as political activity. So is that something that concerns all of you?
I think, Barkha, can I respond? Yeah. 1 minute. Yeah, yeah, Poonam, let me respond to this. Mm-hmm. First, if a few thousand crores of foreign money can destabilize our democracy, we should be asking ourselves what kind of democracy we're
in. 1 crore is enough.
Number two. Let me complete.
1 crore
is
enough.
Let me complete. 1 crore is enough. Number two. A very small fraction of NGOs actually take foreign money.
No.
Number three. Let me complete it. No, please.
Not true.
1 minute.
It's not true.
I'll give you the facts.
Yeah, I'll give you the facts.
33,000 NGOs in this country take any amount of foreign money as compared to the millions of NGOs there. Number three. Why? Why should you take foreign money at all? Because I have the freedom of association.
Yeah.
Because if somebody abroad feels strongly about, say, poverty in India or about the situation here, why should they not be allowed to give back?
Especially when we are opening up our economy and all other fronts. If our defense sector can take foreign funding,
our
defense sector can take foreign funding. We are all speaking together, impossible to manage.
Let me just read out one line. I want to read out one line about a foreign funded organization called Amnesty International.
Yes.
And this gentleman writes about it, who's just out of prison. In his diary, he writes, he blogged about it. After being informed by the jailer that I was going to be released, when I returned to my room for the last time, I found a heap of letters lying on my table. There are more than 600, all of them from abroad, sent by members or associates of Amnesty International. Most of them are Christmas or New Year greeting cards, but there is a line or two inscribed on each, which gave strength, confidence, and hope to all of us engaged in the struggle. And then the gentleman quotes a sample of a Christmas card where he says, freedom
so
and
what?
Hope don't go hand in hand.
So what?
They can steal your freedom.
So what?
But can't take away your hope.
What's the point?
L.K. Advani. Writing, Mr. L.K. Advani, writing about his
There was a violent story there. Okay, Ajoy, Poonam, then Professor Nalapath, Matthew, and we have to open on.
So first question is, whether majority of the civil society is contributing, whether it is site initiative, whether it is children's initiative, there are lots of it and there are lots of good NGOs. So one is that we're trying to blacken them. The other issue is, out of 50,000 crores in 4 years means approximately 12,000 crores a year. We are writing off 4 lakh crores of, you know, crony capitalist loan this year.
What I'm saying,
you're going up to 12,000 crores of NGOs and guys who are trying to save kids, give vitamin A in supplements, and all attention as a country goes up to these four NGOs.
I have to move on.
On the basis of one number, you cannot paint all NGOs with the same brush. 1 minute. And we or NGOs have in our constitution, we do believe we do not do any political activity. We would have been joining you guys, political party. Okay, we want to do politics. So 1 minute, 1 minute. And second, you cannot say that that NGOs are not transparent, especially foreign funded NGOs. They have to submit their accounts to FCRA. If they forget, then a license is a cancelled. That's a different
reason. Mr. Subramaniam, one line, then I have to go. Poonam, I have to move on. Yes, sir.
1 second. Nobody is painting NGOs all as black, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, foreign funding or domestic funding per se is not good or bad.
Yeah.
All that we are saying whoever is in public space must declare his asset. That's all. It's a very simple thing. Good or bad, he should declare.
So who is a public servant?
They're handling public money.
I want to admit that from the start, I was opposed to this Lokpal bill.
because we have completely and totally, for a simple reason that you have, the more powers that you give this kind of a body, the more scope there is for corruption.
I agree. Yeah.
And the more good luck to the friends and family of the Lokpal, whoever he or she is. So I don't think it's a question of one more institution.
Yeah.
It was a very bad idea to begin with. I'm really sorry it was implemented. You are not going to be able to stop the spread of civil society in India.
Correct.
Actually, we have about 3 million NGOs, about 2 million, you're saying, plus about 1 million. In the next 2 or 3 years, it's not going to be 2 million or 1 million. It's going to be 5 million.
So how do you make
Because societies are now, our society is evolving. The old fear of government is dissipating, despite the mass arrests which take place under several rules. I mean, I keep joking that the rules that were and the laws that were made by Chidambaram and Sibal are now being used by their successors.
Do you like believe that office bearers and board members and trustees are public servants? That's what it comes down to.
I would like to look, Mr. Subramanian, who's one of the an honest civil servant in the eye, and say, I have all along believed the focus has got to be on the top 500 people in government who are dealing with public issues.
Correct.
I don't think anybody in NGO can sign a file or move a ministry document or pass anything.
Absolutely.
For example, if an NGO is getting government money,
exactly.
Who has sanctioned that money?
Get them out of
What about that person?
He should also
not
declare.
The NGO.
He's
the person
declare.
Who has sanctioned it. I would like to say, focus on the bureaucrats and policy-making politicians.
So, and remove the NGOs from the definition of public servant because you've got bigger problems
exactly.
right now.
Okay, let me take this to Matthew Cherian and Atul Batra. Matthew.
First of all, why do NGOs exist?
Yeah.
Because in 70 years of independence in remote areas, we have not got services. It
Correct.
Is because of failure
Absolutely.
Of governance, failure of delivery, that is.
Correct.
And there are 3 million NGOs. We employ 18.7 million workers. We employ more people than the public sector. And I can tell you that this, we believe in organizational transparency. We have standards. We have a model, and Vani, we have a model code of conduct. There is Credibility Alliance which accredits NGOs.
So, but that
NGOs.
May be you, but is it everybody? Because let me quote another figure to you.
But
let me just quote another figure to you. This is the now IB on Greenpeace. Now, again, Ajoy, this IB report is your time, right?
No, but we probably elegantly made it happen through the UPA.
threat to national economic security, funded
Don't
an AAP candidate in AAP, in Madhya Pradesh. 8 out of 11 anti-Kudankulam NGOs were funded by European donors. Negative impact of NGOs' role on GDP growth is 2 to 3% per annum. This is a Congress era report.
Again, the Intelligence Bureau report
yes.
should never be taken as gospel truth for the fundamental issues, whoever, irrespective of the government, because fundamentally the IB comes as a police kind of perspective. I've been an ex-policeman. It will fund a kind of the numbers which are coming out are ridiculous. You're talking about whether you're going to trust the Intelligence Bureau officers to make a judgment on all the civil society work based on their perception.
So let Matthew complete that point.
Without answerability.
Out of the 3 million, only 30,000 NGOs receive any form of foreign funds. And out of this, you have exposed about 9 cases of NGOs. As a percentage, it is a very, very small percentage.
An ordinary person listening to this will say, what is the fear?
Yes.
In declaring the
What's the problem?
We are already
because
doing that.
We are showing that
IT bills are not being filed according to an MHA report. That's what I tried to ask.
Barkha, can I just come in for just two points? You know, for all this chatter about political unrest being created by NGOs, my friend Venkatesh Nayak from the Commonwealth Human Rights Initiative, he gave a RTI application to the Home Ministry that you have powers under the Act to identify organizations who are of a political nature. And just a few months back, what was the response to the RTI? The Ministry of Home Affairs has not been able to identify a single organization in the country who can be defined as an organization working on political nature which is taking foreign funding. If an Intelligence Bureau officer is going to determine the percentage of GDP which NGOs are bringing down, they should make him the RBI governor.
I would.
Now Nalin,
it is
before Atul comes in.
Very unfortunate that we are in a situation, in a discussion, that A, everyone is speaking in such extremes, whereby you're saying,
You also said
yes,
extreme.
Because
you said they create political unrest.
Did I say all NGOs created?
You did.
I'm saying no. No, ma'am.
You said NGO
is
great.
Remind my tape.
You didn't say one NGO or two NGOs.
Yes, ma'am. No. Because I don't know. I don't keep track of how many.
But the Ministry of Home Affairs says none. They know.
I'm again saying it. Because I take offense to the fact that it's being made to believe that I'm saying all NGOs are bad. I don't. But if you, in the
Alan,
same
give
way,
give an example of those who have created political address. Be specific.
Look,
then
you
we
quoted,
can have a real conversation.
Yes, okay. Well,
I
you
am
have
quoting
quoted
IB, but I don't believe everything IB says.
So that's okay. So that's okay. Kundakalam is one example. Kundakalam is one example.
Yes.
And Kundakalam was found to be. Yes, Kundakalam was found to be, as you said, under that. Second is you run down the IB because now it's.
I am
it's
not running anyone down.
Not you.
I am simply using it as a talking point to say be specific.
Yes.
Be specific.
So the
Kundakalam,
you have quoted the example. I haven't.
Okay, okay. It's a valid example.
Yes, but I'm not. Yes, it's a valid example.
Okay.
The third part I'm saying is that, you know, you say, oh, make him the RBI governor. What is this? Everyone under the constitution is equal. So you say the man who's the bureaucrat who will cut the check, he should be accountable, but the person who receives it and spends it in any way should not be accountable.
What kind of joke is that?
Where is the question
of
non-accountable?
Yeah.
But this is only meant for those who don't comply.
NGOs to file returns.
Why? Okay.
But
now,
how many income tax under the Societies Act?
How
many more acts do you need?
Let him speak. Let him speak.
I have seen this from close quarters.
Yes.
For the last 20 years.
Yes.
There are excellent NGOs. There are also terrible crooks in that system who take foreign money. So it is not a question of they're all good, they're all bad. Like in every aspect of society,
exactly.
We have all kind of number one.
I have
also seen specifically target for foreign money coming into specific areas to create problems all over the place.
Give an example.
I can't tell.
You must give an example.
You must.
Don't accept it.
You can't
make an allegation and give an example.
Sir, if you're strong enough to talk.
I make the allegation, I will not prove it.
No, I actually.
Come on.
Sir,
I just want to say that, look, for example, take a question of a big agitation against a particular plant in Orissa,
yes,
which could have actually, in my view, improved the
GDP
and
POSCO?
The people there.
POSCO?
Yeah, well, I'm talking
POSCO?
About some other plant.
Vedanta, POSCO?
And the fact is, when I investigated this,
yes,
those who agitated have not agitated against an aluminium plant anywhere else in the world, except in Orissa. Now, I'll take another example. There are many people who are from Australia, from Canada, from countries that have got huge amounts of coal mining or iron ore mining. Now, they try and stop coal and iron ore mining in India. Why can't they go back to their home
but
country?
But sir, may I ask a question? Professor Nalapath, if we can, and we welcome it when the government opens up defense, something as sensitive as defense to FDI, should we be paranoid about foreign funding in NGOs? If we aren't about foreign funding in our military economy?
No, not at all.
I don't believe we should be paranoid.
You should declare, that's all.
I'd like
you should declare.
Regarding
but we are declaring. Under the Society Registration Act, under the Income Tax Act.
Can I get Atul? Can I get Atul? Atul.
Not about NGOs. There is no doubt that NGOs do a good job. The entire debate is whether the officers, the karta dharta of NGOs, should be brought within the Lokpal and Lokayukta Act.
Yes.
Why should it not be? Any righteous man, why should be afraid of anything? Do we, like as Barkha has just said, do we not file our income tax returns, our wealth tax returns? What is it? Another form in a particular act to be filled and filed? Why are we afraid of that?
For past 2 years, the bureaucrats' filing of returns have been extended repeatedly.
Should
and
not
the politicians,
have been. No, should not have been.
It has been extended. One second, let me
should not have been.
They've gone to
one
court.
Second, let me complete, my friend.
Should not have been.
You, none of us have raised that extension of bureaucrats and politicians' extension month after month after month.
So is your
problem
that it's selective?
So my
1 minute. Is your problem that it's selective?
It is selective.
And please be clear. Are you saying NGOs plus bureaucrats plus politicians, everybody declares their assets? Are you saying keep the NGOs out? Which
I'm
one are
saying,
you saying?
No. First of all, get only the politicians and bureaucrats. We got enough challenges. Civil society, because at the end of the day, can they be public servants? And somebody, Arvind Eye Hospital or a trustee of Arvind Eye Hospital, which eradicates blindness to 1.5 million people, the trustee should be a public servant?
The public servant is a deeming provision for the purposes of this act. And I trust it's not a question of selective.
I need to go to Anu Aga. Now, Anu, you were somebody who got up in Parliament and actually expressed misgivings about this proposal to bring trustees and office bearers within the Lokpal. What concerns you in particular?
What concerns me is that I want full accountability for every NGO and transparency, but the office bearers and the trustees of NGOs, especially the trustees who give their time voluntarily, perhaps even give their funds to an NGO, they're being subjected to declaration in the public domain of their wealth and that of their dependents and spouses, I thought was very unfair. And a few NGOs I'm connected with, the trustees preferred to step down rather than go through this declaration.
Okay.
Then I got messages from many NGOs that they are also facing a similar issue that trustees want to step down rather than give the declaration.
So you're actually saying that even before this law actually comes into practice, because now, of course, we have a deadline extended from July 31st to December and referred to a standing committee, we are already seeing its impact and trustees and office bearers are abandoning NGOs.
Yes, because what this amendment has done, it has postponed the date. I believe, according to the new notification, till end of December. But I thought in the amendment we had said indefinitely. But whatever that is. But whether the office bearers and the trustees are public servants will be decided by a standing committee, and hopefully they will come up with their recommendation before the winter session.
Okay.
So the sword is still hanging over the trustees.
Yeah. Okay, but I want to ask you, what is the exact problem? That's what we've been debating here. A lot of people may say, what's the problem with knowing the assets of the trustees and office bearers? Why should they be nervous? Why should they abandon these NGOs?
I'm a member of parliament and I declare my assets. So, but most people feel on matter of principle, why should they? They are not public servants. The definition does not apply to them. Secondly, people of high net worth value are worried that that could lead to some extortion, harassment.
Okay.
So that fear, it's in the public domain that people are very upset about.
What is your concern as a member of parliament? Do you believe the NGO space is now being sought to be controlled by the political establishment?
I don't think political establishments want to control every NGO, but those who come in the way of their agenda, of what they want to do, they certainly want to get them out of the way, whatever the government be. So I think that's true. You know, I think there are so many NGOs in India, and several of them are not credible NGOs. And the government, with the current legislation, with the charity commissioner, with the FCRA, with the income tax, has the, if they have the will, to weed them out.
Absolutely.
So why go after the ones who are doing excellent work in different areas and harass their office bearers and trustees? I can't understand that. But I don't think this bill was very hurriedly passed. Don't forget when there was a lot of agitation, when many scams had come out.
Yes.
And I think this was a knee-jerk reaction to pass a bill without understanding the full implications. That's what I think.
What is the sense that you have from the government? Are they going to move ahead? Are they willing to reconsider based on your meetings with them?
You know, sometimes, Barkha, including me as a member of parliament, we don't understand the implication of a bill and pass in a hurry. Either because we haven't studied it, there's a lot of pressure from outside. Another bill which I feel we have passed, for example, lowering the age of the
juvenile justice.
I think it wasn't necessary. We should have kept it at 18. So many bills are passed without understanding the implications because people outside are shouting, demanding it.
Nalin, she's a highly respected voice who expresses concerns about lack of thought and attempt at controlling, but comes to the hub of, in a way, what Ajoy has been raising. Is a trustee who voluntarily gives her time, maybe her money, to an NGO. Should she be ensnared in this entire declaring of assets?
Should anybody be
She may be giving her money, not even taking money from anybody.
Fair enough. But is that supposed to be exception? Okay, if I decide tomorrow to be a rich person and I start doing charity, should I be outside the purview of the Income Tax Act or any act? No. I think when compliance is there, compliance is for everyone.
Let's start taking questions and you can all react to the comments.
In any society, we all can have different views. There's no harm. And that's the beautiful part of a
democracy. But the hub is the trustee.
You can't say, I am credible, so I should be
kept up. Is the trustee of an NGO a public servant?
I have great reservation on the issue of linking with Lokpal. Also on the question of what the definition of public servant is. I'm absolutely clear that anyone in public space, including NGO, should declare assets.
But not under Lokpal. Not under Lokpal. You're separating.
That's exactly okay, what I'm saying.
No, I think Anuaga has taken a very reasonable position. Yeah. And Nalin would also agree with it, that if you're taking government money and large sums of government money and you're an office bearer, then certainly you should be under whatever act asked to declare. Yeah. But trustees, no.
Let's hear some
more. Supplementing the fact that Mr. Cherian said that why are the NGOs established there? And established for public welfare. This is the basic fundamental idea of establishment of any NGO. Now, if any NGO can use RTI as an act for transparency against the government or against any public institution, apprehending the fact that NGO is also kind of a voluntary public institution, so the transparency has to be a two-way traffic. Yeah. It cannot be a one-way traffic.
Let Matthew respond. Yeah, Matthew, go ahead.
Yeah. All NGOs, if you go to our website, for the last 5 years, all the accounts are there. Or everything. Even what I get as a salary is mentioned.
Poonam, do you
website.
Want to add to that?
No, I just want exactly the same thing.
And we have been filing tax returns, FCRA returns.
Poonam, is the fear, and Anu also didn't answer that directly.
Yeah.
Is the fear that this is just government harassment because governments can harass any government?
Yeah.
Is your fear that or is your fear that this is proxy control and throttling of the NGO world?
Both. It is proxy control. It could be used to throttle NGOs and proxy control. And it is our board members, many of them, as Anu said, are high net worth and eminent people who will resign and leave.
But why are they resigning?
They are resigning because they don't get any benefits from the NGO. They are honorary members. Why should they put their wealth in the public domain? They do their file returns.
Madhav, add to that.
I just want to say the reason why the fear will be there. If you're an income tax officer, for example, now has got awesome power to arrest, to seize income, and to say that your income is X, Y, or Z when it's not at all.
One sec. The first question is, everybody says it should be transparent. The fact is that in this country, when you file your income tax return, it's not on the public domain, right?
Yeah.
So some people don't want their income tax returns in the public domain.
Exactly,
so to say that, I just want to complete. The second issue, which I think fundamentally is the NGOs have a laundry list of regulations which they comply. Yeah. Charities Act, Income Tax Act, Society Act.
We are on trustees and the managers and the secretary of office bearers.
The last part. CHA is already still transparent.
Now everybody keep talking. Okay, I join up.
The accounts, the audited accounts.
Atul and Nalin. Poonam, I have to get audience question. Atul, why should the trustee be called a public servant? And I think there's a good point here that our returns are not on some website. I am ready as a journalist, but I am in the public eye. Let's take a person who's not in the public space. Why does that person have to have their private life, what painting hangs in their drawing room, what gold bangles they have, as long as it's legal, why should everybody know about it?
I'll split the question in two.
Yes.
One, in regard to the definition of public servant. This definition is defined for the purposes of this act. It's not, you can't link it to Prevention of Corruption Act or any such act, because it's defined. And it's there since 2014,
but
the first act.
But if the main public servants, the politicians, the bureaucrats are not doing this, the main public servants are not doing this, why the hell should it be used? Atul,
2016 notification brought
these changes.
It says the officers. I want one, Nalin.
Sir, Atul,
I want one, Nalin.
Ajoy, now I have to.
And the second aspect of the...
Sir, you're wrong, sir.
Oh, come on. Bas karo.
Nalin. One more. Second aspect is... It's a procedural thing to put it on public domain or not to put it on public domain. It's a question of linking it with your tax returns.
Nalin, but the selectiveness of it, now Ajoy, hang on. The selectiveness of it is really disturbing, and I'll tell you why. Because if it's all about being a public servant, and the people who actually wield power as public servants, to move files, to change policy, to take, you know, to be corrupt if the opportunity were to present itself, if they're not going to do this, why should NGOs?
No. First of all, anyone who's going to break any kind of compliance requirement, politician, bureaucrat, NGO,
but why aren't
you
all willing to do it
anyone.
If you want them to do it?
Ma'am, you're doing what Ajoy you are accusing of.
But you're not answering me.
I'm trying to. So, you'll have to excuse me, I've lost my thought.
Okay, Baka, can I just quickly come
maybe
in
you would like
that,
to
you know,
yeah.
Just yeah. Very quickly, that if you, I think we are again breaking the debate into many sections, but the crux of the matter is that office bearers of NGOs who get government funding are not objecting to this. It's only the trustees. Number two, what has the legislation done? The amendment done? The amendment has not changed that. The amendment has exempted children and spouses of IS officers and politicians.
Exactly.
I would say that NGO to bahana tha, neta asli nishana tha.
Which is actually very wrong.
Okay, yes,
okay, I wanted to make a point.
Ma'am, he's absolutely right. Neta ka NGO to sirf bahana tha, neta ko bhi bachana tha. Actually, he's right. NGO ko to sirf ek picture mein laya gaya hai. Bachaya ja raha hai sirf neta ko. NGO kaam hi hamare acche ke liye karte hain. NGOs taiyar hain declare karne ke liye assets. Jaise ma'am ne kaha, bahut NGOs hain. Maine bhi work kiya hai. Bahut NGOs apne assets declare karte hain. So, while we are talking about the transparency, NGOs are transparent, ma'am. NGOs are transparent. We can't say that NGOs are not transparent.
Thank you.
Okay, now we make a point. Being transparent is entirely different from being a public servant. A public servant has certain immunities, certain
correct.
Powers, and certain absolutely. Liabilities. Mm-hmm. In case of this particular amendment, will those people to whom we are trying to turn into public servants, will be they given all those
the
immunities?
Same immunities?
Immunities?
Will I get a pension?
That's a very,
very
good question.
Question.
That is
will
our
I get a pension?
To take stock of that and answer that.
Yeah.
I want to say that how can the board members of the NGOs come under the definition of public servant? According to the courts, like as stated by the courts, in order to be a public servant, a person, number one, should have discretionary authority. Number two, should be appointed. Number three, should
correct.
Get remuneration.
Absolutely.
And number four,
correct, from the fund of
number four should be a subordinate under an authority.
Correct.
But these conditions do not apply to the
board
members.
Absolutely.
I want to know. I'm requesting.
I think it's a very good question.
I'm going to make three comments, one by one, and they are very brief.
Yeah.
Number one is if you take public money, you will have to be publicly accountable, period. Don't take public money.
Without any of the benefits of other public servants.
Board members.
Without any of the benefits of other public servants.
Who asked you to take public money?
Without any of the benefits of other public servants.
No, hold on. No, 1 minute. That's the job.
What about
Viraj's point?
So 1 minute, yes.
No. Bureaucrats have been removed.
So hold on.
But they are the real public servants.
I'll give you a counter to that. Then go and stand for the IAS, stand for the election and go down that route. If you are taking public money, you will be accountable.
But
Ajoy,
board member, Nalin, board member, the executive is saying
we
will file it.
I'm granting it. I'm the hated guy.
We are not arguing.
No, I'm granting it. No,
no,
I'm saying it. I'm the hated guy because I'm the government.
No, you're not.
Because I'm the BJP, so it's obvious.
No,
I'm saying it.
That's
okay.
That's
not because I can't. Everybody's interrupting me. Everyone's interrupting me. I'm
emotional.
I'm quite
Ajoy, you have to stop shouting.
But I told
him. Please, I need to finish it. I'm sorry.
But I told him.
No, I'm sorry. You can't do this in
Ajoy, that's it.
I'm sorry, I want to finish this.
No, Nalin, answer.
Serious.
Please sit down.
So I'm
please
saying
sit down.
Anyone who takes public money, whereas an NGO or otherwise, is going to be accountable because that money belongs to the public.
See,
number one. Number two. Number two. The Income Tax Act, because that example's been coming up again and again. Everyone who files a return doesn't like the IT asking them a question.
Yet the income tax department finds crores and hundreds of crores of unaccounted money.
I agree.
Nobody likes compliance because everyone says, keep me off it.
Okay.
Three, those who are doing good jobs. And of course, I said it at the beginning, it includes NGOs. They're fantastically good NGOs. They are not going to be bothered about it.
Okay.
Those who are not, like a person with the Income Tax Act, with anything else, are going to be worried.
Okay, now let's take a question.
And the last part, just the last. With regard to any kind of compliance of a public servant or definition, go and write to the, go meet the politicians, go meet the standing committee, go meet the, this. These definitions are amendable. They are not one thing in stone.
Seems pretty eerie because right now already the case is in Supreme Court, and that's when, you know, the whole thing is in the parliament and you're talking that, you know, we have to do all this, so why,
you know,
suddenly?
I genuinely wish the government and everything could be so perfectly timed because everyone complains that the government is moving at its own slow pace. Sometimes things just happen. They're not by design.
Okay. I just want to say it's not a question of compliance, Nalin. It's a question of the ability to harass.
Correct.
Now, what you say is absolutely valid, provided we have got shining angels as our civil servants and shining angels are politicians.
Yeah,
I mean, 99% may be shining angels, but 1% may not be. And they are the people who 99% misuse that power and take bribes. Don't tell me people are not collecting bribes. The more power you give them, the higher the bribes they're going to collect. Yes.
And when they will be in a position to collect bribes, when those shining angels who are not in the NGOs are doing stuff that enables them.
Barbara, may I ask one question? You will, but I want to take a comment here.
Yeah, just one point of information. The money that we are talking about, public money, is going into NGOs. NGOs are already giving their accounts for the utilization of that money.
But then the central government can stop their funding.
Yes. Stop their funding or make them accountable. And a government which is committed to accountability and openness, it can also go on to say that we'll put these audited accounts onto their websites. Okay. But that should be the government's job, not the NGO's job.
Now, what I want to ask is, what is the purpose? Are we monitoring the funds that are coming in or the people who are utilizing the funds? Why do we need a super cop? There are enough laws, and properly implemented, there can be no misuse of funds. We have been talking of FCRA. There is a utilization certificate.
Correct.
You have to submit it. If you do not implement the laws, it's a different ballgame.
Correct.
Now it's like throwing the baby out with the water.
I
just believe that this selective transparency that we're looking to will just paralyze the NGOs in terms of the people who are giving the pro bono services on the honorary basis.
Now the thing is, I'm totally out of time, so everybody's going to get literally 25 seconds to make closing remarks. Matthew, I'll start with you.
Yeah, actually, all the trustees over the years have been filing Form 10 to the Income Tax Department. All their PAN numbers are already with the government for the last years, whichever NGO has existed.
But how do you explain, which none of you have answered, this 2% figure?
The 2%, because actually if an NGO's income is below 50,000 rupees,
yes,
then there is no liability to file the Form 10.
Okay.
That is per the income
and
tax.
Most NGOs are small.
Most NGOs are not above 50,000 rupees of annual income.
My viewpoint on this is, like, if we are filing income tax returns and various other returns, all that it requires to be done is link it to this procedural thing in this act and say the compliance is done.
Yeah.
And it should not be in public domain. Yes, that's absolutely correct. It should not be in public domain.
But
it can
be declared, certainly.
But it can be declared, link it to your PAN number, link it
to
your
account.
I think
that's fair. Poonam, what's the problem with that? If it's not made public, if it's not out there, why not have your trustees declare? Why should they be worried about declaring? Because they declare to income tax.
No, because it will.
Anyway.
No, because now it is going to go to a website of the Home Ministry.
No, he's saying he's okay with it not being made public, right?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, then we are okay. Yeah. Then we're
okay
absolutely. And
if it's not public.
Yes,
okay,
and please know, Barkha, that NGOs,
okay,
we believe in transparency and accountability, and we want to be accountable.
Mother.
Look, I am in favor of transparency, making it public. Even, you know, folks in the media and for folks in the universities, we should all make the things public.
Absolutely.
That's, there's no question about it. The best Lokpal will be strengthening the RTI immeasurably.
Correct.
The problem with this is, with my friends saying it, if you start a mass kind of an oversight, you're getting nobody.
Let us realize that the NGO sector is overregulated and undergoverned. The reason why you have this astounding number of NGOs is because the regulatory framework is wrong, where BCCI, the Port Trust of India, and a local Ganesh Utsav Mandali are all brought
all
into the same.
NGOs.
And we need to change that.
That's a very good point. Mr.
Tiyasar. Two things. I am even going beyond Ajay, that it is a large national conspiracy that we don't want an effective Lokpal.
Yes.
I think we are now complicating that matter.
Yes.
Every state needs a Lokpal. Every government of India needs a Lokpal, number one. Number two, we are totally blind if you think that foreign money does not come to do havoc in India. It does every day. It has done in the last 50 years. It has done. Number two. Number three, no NGO should object to reasonable restrictions, regulations, and transparency.
That's a bureaucrat.
And lastly,
again and again, the bureaucrats
should come, and also politicians should come.
Immediately
should come tomorrow.
And their families.
Tomorrow.
And their families.
And families. And lastly, nobody wants to be a trustee, or we will be asked to be a trustee. Unless he gives or takes, we should be exempted. He should be in the limelight.
All right, Ajoy, and then Alan gets the last one. I have to close.
So, yeah. NGO banata, Babu or Neta Loko bachanata is absolutely, I couldn't have said it better. The public servant definition has to be more specific. It can only be under the definition which the Supreme Court has given. And as far as foreign money, which NGOs people with Subramaniam Saab credits creates havoc, then how incompetent are our cops? Yeah? They should
they
start
are.
Prosecuting.
You
then
are
start
one.
Doing
they
it.
Are.
And I am
we
tired
are.
Of it. So start doing stuff.
Any deeper thought on this? Would you at least concede that?
No, I think anything. Because in anything, it doesn't matter today we are talking NGOs, tomorrow we may talk another sector. Any act that comes in has a long-term implication. So definitely in a society, you have to have a deeper debate. There's no question about it. But at the same time, the misuse of an act, even if it's noble, those things so that unnecessarily people are not harassed. That has to be, there has to be safeguards.
And what do you think on politicians?
With regard, I'm coming to it. If you are saying privacy of a trustee's who is just putting in honorary work or something, that has to be maintained, then by the same logic, somebody's adult son, whether a politician or a bureaucrat, may be earning 20 zeros because he's working as in McKinsey or something, and you say, no, he should be made
it's
public.
Only dependent.
You can't have. So
it's
therefore,
only
you
dependent.
Need, yes.
dependent.
So you need to have this kind of broad understanding and clarity. You can't have this one way or the other. And my last point is the misuse of anything in law also does not mean you throw the law out. For example, if a false murder case happens on someone, you don't say the law is bad.
Nobody has said that.
We should find. We have to find.
Without
harassment of the genuine.
I will say in conclusion that you are right that a misuse of a law doesn't make the law unnecessary, but the ununiform, unequal application of a law certainly makes it suspect. So that is the point here, that as long as we have the big power wielders out of the purview of this and we focus all our energy as NGOs, I'm not even sure we'll be able to clean up the NGO sector or bring good governance to it till we have a level playing field for all. That is my own personal opinion. I end with that. Thank you very much to everybody. Thank you.